Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Remember to visit our website at www.revivalministry.co.za, where you can sign up to receive more of these powerful messages.
I think just speaking now as me being, you know, I think the thing that I most desire is to see the Word transform each and one of our lives, to transform our lives fully, you know. And I don't want to preach for years and lives aren't transformed, but I can't make lives be transformed. It's as we listen to the Word, we've got to make the decision to not only just hear the Word and listen to it, but create a space where it can germinate. To create the environment in our hearts where the Word like seed can actually sprout. And that Word, when it sprouts, is so delicate at first. It needs such a beautiful, safe environment to germinate. We've got to give that Word as, you know, just space to do that. I've said before, I'll rather meditate on a single verse for a year until I get it than read the Bible from back to front in a year. If there's a word that I haven't, if there's a piece of the Word that hasn't impacted my life, I would rather meditate on it every day for a year until it has an impact. Does it make sense? It's like receiving the Word and allowing it to germinate in our lives. Take that, you know, Bible plans for the year. Although a lot of info is good, that Word has to germinate. It has to become real in our hearts. When we went on camp, we spoke about the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we really felt like God was bringing about those times of refreshing. Can I just see anyone who's desiring a time of refreshing in your life? Like you're saying, I need a time of refreshing right now. And Peter said something. He said something really important. He said, repent. Repent. Change your mind that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come. The Amplified says that times of recovering from the effects of fire, times of reviving with fresh air. That's what this church is all about, is reviving. We want to see people's lives revived, transformed with the freshness of the Holy Spirit. And honestly, growing up in church, I'd heard the word repent so often. Repent! When they preach John the Baptist, the voice crying out in the wilderness, there's a voice crying out, repent! And depending what church you go to, the repent gets harsher. I'm not going to imitate. But I don't know if you in your heart had that kind of it right now when we say the word repent. Mom says no. That's why she's my mom. But when we were on camp, the Holy Spirit just said to me, Repenting is the act of surrendering. Repenting is the act of surrender. And to surrender is a beautiful, gentle, intimate moment with the Lord. You can't repent unless you have intimacy with the Holy Spirit. And I just found myself just surrendering to His presence and allowing Him to come and just surrender into His voice. You know, last week we spoke about my sheep hear His voice. My sheep hear my voice, and He calls us each by name. And just saying, "Yes, Lord," is the beginning of repenting. Just saying yes opens up your heart to a deep repenting process where you say, I don't want what is not from the Holy Spirit anymore. And there's a deep surrendering. Do you guys feel that? Can you hear that? And so many people have repented in that way, just surrendered into His presence, and they've seen unwanted aspects of their lives just disappear. So I want to say today, repenting is like creating the soil for the Word. Repenting is like preparing the soil. It's like it's getting those garden tools out and going to the soil and saying, "I'm going to make the best possible space for the Holy Spirit's influence to for the Holy Spirit's voice to grow, to have an effect on my life."
Yeah.
Seeds need a place to rest in fertile soil. And I said that already. And I was reading Isaiah 10 verse 12. And it says, "Sow for yourselves according to righteousness, reap according to mercy and loving kindness." There's two acts. There's sowing and reaping. There's two acts. Sowing according to righteousness and reaping according to mercy and loving kindness. Break up your uncultivated ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Listen, this is a prophetic word. Break up the uncultivated ground, because it is time to seek the Lord. To inquire for Him and to require His favor till He comes and teaches you righteousness and rains His righteous gift of salvation. So He's painting a picture. He's saying, there is hard ground, break it up, because it is time. And when you do, and you do plant the seed, then the rain of salvation will come. God's salvation is like rain that waters the word that has been planted in the environment you prepared for it. And unless you prepare a place for the word to rest, salvation can't rain on the seed. And if it does, the seed can't sprout. Unless the ground has been cultivated. Does it make sense? I just see a lot of people staring out at uncultivated land. Unable to dig in. Unable to prepare. And God's saying, "See, I've set before you. See, I've placed before you a land flowing with milk and honey." And there's a group of Israelites that went into the promised land, and Joshua had to come and say, "Hey guys, why are we camping here? Why are we not moving and breaking open the uncultivated land?" And there's three areas, because I don't want to speak metaphorically. There's three areas in our lives. I see three large areas of land in each one of our lives. Number one, it's the land of identity. Number two, it's the land of good and healthy relationships. Number three It's the land of purpose and provision. And each one of us stands between three lands. God says, I've given you the land of identity. I've given you the land of godly relationships. I've given you the land of provision, prosperity, purpose. Now go and break open the uncultivated lands. Go and break it open. And I ask God, how do I know if my heart is hard in these areas? How do I know if I have hard lands when it comes to my identity? Hard lands when it comes to my relationships. Hard lands when it comes to my purpose. God said, here's how you determine whether you need to go and retill the soil of your heart. Number one, you have a tendency to run. It's not comrades that he's referring to. Because Paul says, run the race so that you may win the prize. But it's a tendency to run, not to win a prize, but to get away. If you have the unction to flee, to run away from problems, God's saying, there is land that needs something. There's land that needs some turning over. If you have the unction, or if you see that you have little or very slow progress, that things don't grow around you, this is in terms of relationships. God says, till the land. Till the land. Dig into the soil. If you have little appetite to dream about the future, God says, till the land. Dig into the soil. If you struggle to hear God's voice on a daily basis, God says, till the land. Dig into the soil. He who tills the land of his heart to receive the word lives completely satisfied and fulfilled. That's Proverbs 12, verse 11. The proverb actually says, he who tills his land will be satisfied with bread. Some people have the, and sometimes in my life, in our lives, we have the temptation to skip the tilling part. Because the tilling part isn't the fun part. The tilling part is the difficult part. Every farmer likes to see rows and rows of corn ready for harvest, right? But before that, there was a process of digging into the rocks. Before that, there was a process of dealing with each rock, rock by rock. It's no fun, right? Anyone love digging into rock? Where we now, where we live now, I can dig into the soil. But I remember where I grew up. If someone said dig, you were like, eh. No chance, because just below the surface, you knew your spade and your pick, useless. No fun. No fun. And so sometimes we approach life like that, like, oh man, I really want to grow in my identity. And God's like, there's some things that we need to just dig out. And we go, oh, that's not great. That's not fun. Sounds fun up there. You see, when the process of creating a fertile soil, number one, is to remove the rocks. It's heavy lifting, it's hard work. But we've got to do it. We've got to face the things. It's that act of repenting. It's saying, God, I'm going to surrender my heart to you. And then I'm going to identify every part of my life that shouldn't be in my life. And I'm not going to run away from it. I'm not going to ignore it. I'm not going to pretend it's not there. I am going to dig in and remove it. I'll rather use a rock to build something like a house than to try and plant seeds in it. This thing does not belong where God's word belongs. It does not belong where His seed, where the seed belongs. I want to encourage every person, identify it. Get rid of it. Don't ignore it. Don't leave it there. I know for some people it's harder to receive negative feedback. But we've got to learn how to receive negative feedback. Say, yes, I do need to get rid of this thing. Let me dig in and do the hard work. Let me dig in, scour it out, bring in the heavy loaders, bring in the bulldozer, whatever it needs. I'm going to do it. In this church, for instance, in marriage, we've got a course called LAMB. Some of the guys in the course have said, I can't be scraped anymore. Because the bulldozer comes in. And the only way your life's not going to be changed by the bulldozer is if you run away. But man, you've got to dig in. When it comes to parenting, let's get rid of the bad habits. Let's get rid of the ways that don't bring growth, don't bring life. I want to encourage every person, identify what needs to move and move it. Get it out of the way. The second thing we can do to make our hearts fertile is to bring in the irrigation.
Yes.
Bring in the irrigation. That's Miller there in the back. He's a landscaper. He knows. First, make the soil soft. Second, bring in the irrigation. When we visited Bethel in 2013, and a guy came in and he just prophesied. Well, we went to a prophetic session, and he said over Bernadine in my life, he said, Bernadine is going to make things beautiful. Daniel is going to bring in the irrigation. I agree. Thank you, Jesus. Because you know, there were things that I was doing that Bernadine thought was insignificant. You know, she's someone who likes to see those flowers grow. She's someone who likes to, and I'm always the guy who's going, you know, before we get to step 10, we need to do steps 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And she's like, oh, come on. That's why we're married. That's why we're all married. And we all have people in our lives who bring in the things that, listen, if it wasn't for Bernadine, I would only be doing irrigation. There'd be no flowers. Bringing in the irrigation, I moved into a house that has a borehole, and suddenly I had to figure out how this thing works and where the water goes and how to, and suddenly I realized there's some pre-planning that goes into this. There's a lot of trips to AJ Plastics. Suddenly there's different kinds of nozzles and nozzle strengths, and I'm like, what? A whole new world. But it is like that in our lives. We've got to do the pre-planning. The Bible speaks about foresight. Many people want to walk into the garden and have the lush garden in place, and they've not considered that it requires some foresight. Requires a change of our heart to not want to rush into things, but do things that can be sustained in a sustainable way. The world loves things like the lotto, unsecured debt, things that make decisions and you can have it. And God says, you first need to be rigid. You first need to plan very carefully and put down the things in place that will maintain and sustain life. Jesus says, come everyone who is thirsty and drink of me. But we don't just get to drink from Jesus, we actually get to lay the pipelines of supply from his presence. Some go to Jesus with a cup and they drink once, others are going with a roll of plastic piping. They go, Jesus, I'm going to tap into the source of life and I'm going to roll it out and I'm going to carry it with me. How many of you have had the mentality of going to Jesus with your cup? I'm thirsty, Jesus. Drink once. Jesus is saying, you know, you can roll out an entire irrigation system. You can roll it out and you can be sustained. Your life can be green all the time because you've made a way for his presence to flow. You've planned where his presence is going to have an impact and what it's going to do. I want to encourage you with that. Hebrews 12:15 says, exercise foresight and be on the watch to look out for one another, to see that no one falls back and fails to secure God's grace, his unmerited favor, his spiritual blessing. And then he says importantly that no root of resentment shoots forth and causes trouble and bitter torment, and the many become contaminated and defiled. James speaks about, he asks the question, what causes contention? He says there's jealousy. I want to say today, this bitterness, this jealousy that he speaks about, can only take place when we've disconnected ourselves from the source of life. When we're not drinking spiritual water. The moment we disconnect ourselves from the spiritual source of life, we open up our heart, we start feeding on things that don't exist. I just want to say, just if you ever feel bitterness, if you ever feel jealousy, go to the source of life. Say, God, I want to surrender this condition of my heart. I want to surrender it to you. I want to come and drink of living waters. But God, will you help me remove that rock? It's not the rock Jesus now, don't get confused. It's the hard soil Jesus spoke about. Will you help me remove that? Help me take that out. Help me drink from your presence. Are you guys still with me?
Yes.
The third thing you add, some of you might have heard me speak about this, into your soil, you need to add some organic matter, aka cow poo, fertilizer, compost.
Yay!
Yeah. Why are you not so vocal? That's better. There's another one in the back there. When I mow my lawn in the summer, I enjoy mowing my own lawn. I just love it. I love straight lines. Is there anyone else in the room that watches those most satisfying videos on YouTube? Where things are organized and guys are scraping in gardens and it's like... I get excited when I have to mow the lawn. I'm like... I'm going to take chaos and I'm going to turn it into straight lines. Me with my weed eater. Whee! Like, yeah, man. I don't know. Like, recently, I don't know if anyone, you guys, on YouTube, I get recommended fast forward clips of guys cutting lawn. Talk about time wasting. You thought I was prepping sermons a week. I'm watching guys. But my favorite part of that is I go take that cutting and I put it in that special place called the compost heap. And I get so proud. So make it nice and high. And then I have an even better feeling. I come back next week and I can see it's decomposed. And I'm like, just keep adding. But I know, the end of winter this year, man, I'm going to put some good stuff over our lawns. I don't have to go to Checkers to go buy those bags that spring up mushrooms all over the place. And I'm like, I've got some good organic matter. And today I want to say the picture that it gives or what it speaks into is patience. Sometimes we've got to allow something just to fraught a little bit. Just let it fraught. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. It's going to be food. You know, our kids ask where mushrooms come from. Like, there's a farm where they have chicken poo. And that's where your mushrooms come from. Kids love mushrooms. Okay, so something good comes out of it, right? Something good comes out of the decaying process. And we've got to allow some things just to rest a little bit. Anyone being angry when you go to bed? I know it's probably just me and Bernadine sometimes. We go to bed a little angry. Anyone? See, there's two camps. Moenie kwaad gaan slaap nie. And then you end up talking till 2 in the morning. And you wake up tired. There's also a space where God says, let it rest. Just let it lie. Don't dwell in bitterness. No. You're actually allowing it to process. And you wake up with something better. The Bible says, speaks often about he who is first to speak sounds wise until the second person comes. It's better to keep quiet. Sometimes we've got thoughts, we've got reactions, we want to say something, and maybe we just need to let it compost a little. Maybe we just need to let it dissolve a little bit until we've got something that's fertile. These three areas, the area of removing rocks, the area of bringing in irrigation, the area of organic matter, these relate to every area of your life. I want to ask you just to test, which area of my life do I need to dig? When it comes to my identity, when it comes to the way I view other people, when it comes to relationships, when it comes to what I do for a living, which area of my life do I need to either remove something or to plant more irrigation or allow something to mature? Allow something to grow so that it can feed back into the system. But most importantly, so that God's word can take root and grow in that area. We have to create an environment in our hearts where the word can be planted, take root, and grow so that it can be harvested, processed, and activated so that we can all be satisfied, sustained by it. See, the thing is, if the word takes root in your heart and it grows, you will produce a harvest. And what is a harvest for? It's for someone else to come and pluck. The harvest you produce so that someone else can pick from. That's the full maturity of Christ that we're aiming for. To have so much fruit coming out of us that other people can come and pick. God loves a cheerful giver. Why? Because he's planted, his seeds have taken root. He's got fruit just bursting out of him. And he can give freely because of that. What I love about the word is that it is always restorative and redemptive. It describes how in the beginning God took the soil of the earth and breathed his spirit into it. That's the basis of the word. God took soil and breathed his life into it. And there was man. If you feel like your pursuits are without understanding, are without sense, then know this, that God can take what is formless in your life and blow his spirit into it. If there's an area in your life that is formless, God can take his spirit and blow his life into it. His word will transform you so that your spirit and body may live to its full purpose and meaning. My prayer today is that you will live enriched by his word, soaked in his presence, fully alive. May you eat and be satisfied by his daily bread and the work of your hands. That's my prayer today. We're going to eat bread with icing on it.
Yes.
But I just want to encourage every person today. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Know that sometimes God's going to provide seed to grow bread.
Wheat.
God, give us this day our daily bread, and God says, yes, some seed to grow daily bread. I want to invite every person to open up their hearts, to surrender to his presence, so that seed can grow. Because that's how God gives daily bread. That's how he gives it. May we receive it and grow it and enjoy it and be enriched by it. Bless you guys. Bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Remember to visit our website at www.revivalministry.co.za, where you can sign up to receive more of these powerful messages.